I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show. The economic recovery in the United States continues. There are good metrics. There's reason to be spring happy because of the jobs number, not specially because of the market, but the jobs number. However, our trading partners in Europe may be in trouble, and the trouble may last more than a few years. Joseph Stiglitz, the Nobel Peace Prize winning economist, in a conversation with Tom Keene on Bloomberg Radio's Surveillance, warns that Japan's decade-long drift, stagflation, it's in fact lost more than a decade now, may be repeated in Europe. Tom, a very good evening to you. Your conversation with Professor Stiglitz is alarming. Are the Europeans frightened by this?
They are. The word is alarming, and it's been remarkable how what we've observed in the peripheral nations of Europe in the last few days, John, has really not folded over into the markets. The first thing we see is the Greece two-year yield at 16%, 16% per year they'll give you for 2 years if you'll give them your money. Others are almost as bad. So it's been a very difficult measurement by the markets of what's going on in Europe. They're very alarmed, as is Stiglitz. And it's really this test of a number of policies. The one Joe Stiglitz is focused on is austerity. He's, of course, prescribing that austerity is not the way to go.
Austerity in Europe, not for the world, just Europe. But the Europeans have had all these moving recommendations. It's hard to write them all down. Ireland's going this way. Greece is going that way. So he's talking about an EU austerity imposed on these states?
He's talking about two basic austerities. The one is the United Kingdom, which led the way with their own kind of austerity. And you're absolutely correct. It's about each nation ad hoc. And then there's Ireland, where maybe we wouldn't say austerity, we'd say guarantees, and that got them into trouble. But then you have a forced austerity within the peripheral nations, Greece, Portugal, certainly leading the way, where they have to have austerity because of the draconian terms that the successful countries are placing on them, Germany in particular. So it sets up a very dicey, it's cat and mouse. You know, you can use all the cliches you want. It's probably like that big game of chicken that we all remember from our high school movies.
The European Central Bank, Trichet, there was news in Bloomberg today, actually for the last several days, that they're looking at raising rates because they're concerned with inflation. Will that help the European picture?
No one knows. What I will say is there's raging debate about this. We talked to an economist today from Westpac Bank of Sydney, Western Pacific Bank, and he was adamant that the Europeans have this wrong. He says when you take out food and energy, their core inflation, if anything, is less than ours. And yet they're worried about inflation enough to provide for the rhetoric from President Trichet that moved the markets beginning last week.
The food inflation and the fuel inflation we can see here as well. So, Tom, I want to know if this connects with what we've talked about a week ago or more now, which is the sharp rise in gasoline prices here caused by the Brent crude in Europe. And this has to do with conflict zones. But the question is that part of the EU story? It was presented to me some weeks ago that at 120 to 140, this is Brent crude, Europe can handle it. Above that, the euro cracks. Is that what we're seeing here in in Professor Stiglitz's worries?
Well, that's an opinion that's out there, and I don't disagree with it. I would say that Europe has an entirely different energy calculus than the United States, and they live in their own world, which is they can conserve very quickly. What I would suggest is they've got far less of a margin to play with, not only because of their structural issues like the European experiment and a very unique fiscal policy, but what's really going on here is that Europe has a rather tepid growth outside Germany, and if you have sustained high oil prices, whether it's Rubini's 140 or it's 120, wherever that is, and for however long it's sustained, you begin to hear that phrase, John, nobody wants to talk about, which is double dip,
right,
as Noel Rubini did today.
The word stagflation, when we last talked, the genius of PIMCO, Mr. El Arian, used the word stagflation. And I've watched that around the edges these last weeks as America started to focus on the gasoline prices. So let's bring this home. The Europeans, we know, live in a world in which they can declare solutions and actually act upon them, whereas we're all mixed up here. Is stagflation still a concern that you hear at Bloomberg Surveillance?
Absolutely. Absolutely, all the time. And what's great is there's no definition of it. I would call it a barbell, one part the stag part and one part the inflation part. And the debate, excuse me, John, the debate can be either one of those or both of those. I would suggest right now there's two camps. One is looking for some tangible inflation, not like the 70s, but enough to be painful. But the other's really looking at so-so growth right now, right, where we need a lot more growth to create jobs, and it would really be harmful if we did see any lessening of growth. To go from 3% to even 2.7% is just not good for that job recovery we're all hoping for.
And right now, we talked the last time about Brent crude, and it's a Brent world. I've been telling everybody that, Tom, for some time. And yet we see the West Texas going up to 105. I think it topped at 106. It's playing games right now. Is that a threat to our recovery right now? Is that what you hear, Tom?
Different opinions, but I would say yes. The directional move is a threat for certain. What they call the pace. It's a little bit of calculus, but the answer is it's moving. We've got a two-day ebb here, but if we see further appreciation, it's a lot more serious than the last $5 or the last $10. But the other is, if you just look at the level here, the answer is, John, it's not going to put us into recession. But again, that's not the issue. The media headline of, oh, double dip or oh, recession is not the issue. The issue is just taking off a couple ticks of growth from where we are now would not be a good idea if we all agree we need to generate 200,000 jobs a month.
The West Texas and Brent distinction, finally, Tom, I'd like to help your help in making this, because when we talked, we've got this, I'm told, an inland sea of oil at Cushing, Oklahoma, where the pipeline ends from the north. And we have gasoline supplies that we can't distribute to where they're needed. That's the East Coast and the West Coast. This is not driving season. Is that being solved? Are they addressing that issue for our gasoline prices come July?
I'd recommend you talk to Steve Shork down in Philadelphia, who's the smartest guy on this, I know. I would say, John, that yes, it's not being addressed because it's huge strategic infrastructure issues. And two, there is a lot more oil coming on within the United States. But the fact is we use it, and the critical fact is oil is set with a global price. There isn't a discrete oil price for Thailand or for Oklahoma.
Right.
So the Brent, part of the difference in Brent and NYMEX is the global pricing through Brent. Now, the spread's narrowed in the last couple of days. We're down to, I'm eyeballing it here on my Bloomberg, we're down to about an $8 spread. That was $15 just a few days ago, but it used to be $2 or $3. So the question really is, does Brent come down and meet NYMEX, or does NYMEX go up and meet Brent? And to a person, every expert tells me that what's going to happen is NYMEX will come up and meet Brent.
Tom Keene of Bloomberg Surveillance. Translation, your gas prices are going up. I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show.